Thank Ray for the excellent songs, and our worship this morning has truly been good and wonderful to be together and to worship together and sing together and study as we have. And I hope everyone has well been encouraged. Certainly, as mentioned earlier, it's good that everybody is back together. And as a group of travelers have done well, I guess, made it back anyways. But I know this week, I guess we're a traveling church, as it would say. I know here soon, Chad and Cass will be on a little journey, and then Dave and Catherine's got a little trip planned here soon as well. As always, we're concerned about your travels and hope everyone can make them safely and not pick up that nasty virus that's spreading around from China. Open your Bible. Well, we got a reading. Encouraging one another. This is a lesson I guess some of the antithesis of this lesson I've worked on for some time. And I thought, man, and I told Chad, he talked about this a couple times in Bible class. I got this lesson. I'm working on it. Well, here it is. Talk about this morning, encouraging one another, encouraging each other. As the passage in Hebrews 10 references their instructions for the churches and how the church itself is to interact together. And a great passage there that's given to us possibly by the Apostle Paul, though the writer is of doubt of who specifically it was. But I've put that particular verse up here for us. But notice what Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 in particular reads. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke one another. Love and to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly or the habit of ourselves together as the habit of some is, but exhorting one another as so much more as we see the day approaching. The instruction there is for Christians to encourage one another and provoke one another and to assemble together. And so a lot of togetherness and one another's is there in that passage. And I want to take a minute to look at that this morning. And for me, when I study things like this, since I have a weak vocabulary to begin with, I study the words and try to understand what the true meaning of it. And sometimes in our language, there's a slant. In other words, there's a lean towards certain things. And with these words, there's some in here that it's good to take a gander at and kind of and look and consider. And so we understand what, in at least from the Greek perspective, when the writer wrote this, what they intended. And the overall picture we get from this is the Christians to encourage one another. We're to edify one another, build each other up. And the word, and one word here that the King James uses is provoke one another. So we're going to take it from a study perspective and see these and look at them. I'm sorry, I meant to highlight those for you there. The verb or actions that are in this writing, and we're gonna look at these and kind of evaluate them a little bit and see what we might can learn from them in our own lives here. And so as we look at this, the very first phrase is to consider one another. To consider one another, and the idea being behind that is just to take careful notice. And certainly on some levels, notice on the physical level is appropriate, but certainly also on the spiritual, as far as our growth and development goes, as we mature in the faith, and so we are to consider one another. We're to take note of each other. And Paul also taught them and mentioned this particularly to the Philippians. And so as we study these, we're going to take note of some passages that help tie in some of these concepts, and mostly they're from Paul. But nonetheless, here, let's look at what Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, starting at verse 1. There in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, the idea of considering one another. Reading there, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And here's where I want to tie in. Paul's got a whole thought here, but in this middle of this thought, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The idea is not that we're busybodies, That's not the intention at all. We care and have concern for one another. We look out for one another. We consider someone's circumstances. Maybe they're having a good time in something. Maybe some they want to rejoice in, or maybe they're having a difficult time, and we need to come see to their needs. And so that's the intention here, that we care for the others and we're aware of their condition in life and situation in life, and maybe there's time we need to be there for them. That's what Paul, or that's what the writer here is saying, to consider one another, that we can be there and be ready to help one another. And that's the concept behind it. That's the work within us, the assembly, as we meet together as Christians. That's things that we're encouraged to do together, that we consider one another. And the idea is putting others' needs, even at times, above our own. We made a comment Wednesday night, and since Dave made it, I'll follow up with it. As we raised our children when they were little, anything before 8 o'clock in the morning, they was always the wife's kids, right? That's the way that worked. Anytime between 10 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning, they're always mama's kids. Anytime after that, it's okay. I'll help with the kids after that. But No, we're to consider others, and moms probably get the most experience of that. I would say, even unfortunately, we men need to be aware of those things as well, and it's important for us, and so we see that there. So we're to consider one another, and then to provoke. And this kind of comes across as kind of a crass or harsh word, and it may be unnecessarily so in the King James. When I think of provoke, I think of provoking something for bad. In this case, it's not provoking for good. It's provoking, for bad. It's provoking for good. Incite is part of this word, to induce or to motivate or even inspire. And I guess with this passage written like it is, I like the word inspire, that we inspire, and we're going to look at some more what we're to inspire. But the idea meant to inspire other people. So in this, the title of the lesson, as we encourage one another, that we inspire them. And what do we inspire them to do? To love one another, to love and to good works, to love. And so, again, thinking about as we consider others, that we seek the best in others. That's showing love for one another, and caring for the needs of others. Once again, not just to consider them, not to think on it, but also to act on it, and even to inspire others to act on it. Not just that we act, but to be able to inspire others to love and good works. Also to inspire others to love God. These are the things we do as we come together here as Christians. The assembly together, one of the places it happens. And though it's not only in our assemblies, it's the assembly. It's the membership that works together. Not that we only do it during assembly, but as we live our lives, that we encourage one another in this regard. And we inspire one another to love one another, to inspire one another to love God, to inspire one another to love our Savior, and the love of serving God at whatever level and we're capable. That we inspire people to do that. We inspire fellow Christians to do these things. We encourage one another. The love, even of just serving God in whatever, either physical or spiritual manner, it doesn't matter. That we inspire them to love, and as you see, I kind of went that direction with that idea. So we're to inspire one another, to inspire one another as Christians. Also to inspire good works. When we think about works and the definition of that, some of the commentators use the word beautiful works, great works, good works, things that are good for individuals or the betterment of other people, whatever the case may be. Beautiful works that we inspire people to do those things. That's one of the functions, if you will, one of the opportunities we have, one of the blessings we have as Christians, to inspire each other to be involved in these things, to inspire each other to do good and to along the way here. It's the idea behind that. The idea of encouraging workers in the kingdom, whether it's acknowledging or praising, lifting them up, encourage them in the work, to inspire them to do more, even if it's just song leaders or whatever role that someone chooses to do, or even taking care of the yard or the building or helping others in this life. once again, to inspire them to these good works. And that's one of the roles and one of the opportunities that we have as a Christian, as we worship and work together. Paul did this with other Christians. Let's take a look for a moment here at some of the things that Paul did in inspiring others and other Christians. In particular, I have several passages there, and we'll take a look at some of these. We don't necessarily look at all of it. We're not going to read the entire text, but up in Philippians 1. In Philippians 1, my Bible's still open in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and let's read verse 14 now. So we're read verse 14 of Philippians chapter 1, and reading there. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, we might think of a lot of different reasons why they might be more bold, but Paul inspired them in a way. Paul encouraged them. If it may be by his example and by the fact that they say, look, this great champion, if he'll go to jail for us, for the cause, I'll do the same thing. Paul inspired them in some way. Paul inspired them. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's inspiring the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And that passage there, actually I want to go to 2 Corinthians 9 in particular, where he is inspiring the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And starting with we'll start at verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, and this is talking about giving, and giving to the needs of probably this, I think this is the saints in Jerusalem, but regardless, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, and that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. So Paul's inspiring people, and also the zeal of Corinthians inspired others. Your zeal inspired very many. Our works can inspire people. And those things, in this case, Corinthians were in particular, and they're giving. And then in Colossians chapter 1, again there, in Colossians chapter 1, another where Paul is trying to inspire. And Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ and the love you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before of the word of truth in the gospel, which is coming to you as it is to all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it does in you, since you the day you heard it and you knew the grace of God. And so he's talking, he's inspiring, he is complimenting them on their faith and their work. That's inspiring. That's encouraging another. And that's what the church is designed to do, as us as Christians, as we meet together and work together, that we inspire or provoke one another to love and to good works, as it says there. In the assembling together, and we get together, down south, we love to get together for anything that calls for a joyous occasion to eat. Birthdays, we have birthdays, and we usually celebrate those at least once a year, most of us do, maybe put off doing those things now. We have other assemblies, we get together Christmases and Thanksgivings and Labor Days and all these occasions, and there's things that we get out of those family gatherings and whatnot, even Memorial Days that we have throughout the year. We see on some level the importance of these things. Whatever day is a memorial for a reason. Independence Day is remembered for a reason. And these are typically all annuals, aren't they? We do this once a year. I don't know anybody who wants to have two birthdays a year. Most people are don't really think much of that. Having more than one Christmas and Thanksgiving can be kind of rough. But I know, like for us, when we go to family gatherings, we usually have two meals a day when associated with those holidays, and that's pretty rough trying to get through all that. These memorials are annual. And we see in some level some importance of these. The assembling of the saints is even more so. The greater value in those things. And even in some ways, we could say greater joy. Now, in our assembling together, the encouragement and the inspiring to one another, in part, we get to worship God together. The importance of worshiping God together. Worship, we don't want to, and it wouldn't be proper for us to do worship God once a year. We think we understand that, right? And with a memorial for our Savior, we realize how important to remind ourselves every week of why we're here and what in the sacrifice made on our behalf. We realize the value in that. We realize the value of that. And the opportunities we have to study and learn. These things are edifying. They are building up. They encourage us. They inspire us on probably many different levels. Maybe inspire us to do good, inspire us to do better. What inspire us and how we deal with other people. But the assembling together, the great value, you're doing it weekly, or at least weekly, or bi-weekly, or whatever we choose to do. From these assemblies together, we get a chance to encourage one another. And that's one of the motives, and one of the goals, and one of the objectives of us coming together, is to be able to inspire one another, to be able to encourage one another. There's one last one another, and that is that we exhort one another. That we exhort one another. We invite and beseech or encourage, even the idea of comforting. This is that word that's used in association with Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, as Barnabas was called. That's what this word is. It's the kind of the title we're using of our lesson. That's to encourage one another. And we see that, and we see some of that here in James, but I guess I'm going to let's go to Galatians. We'll not read the passage necessarily in James, but if you might remember there, we're talking about those that are sick and those that might be dealing with sin, and how to pray for one another, encourage one another, and those things in James. But in particular, let's look at Galatians 6, because there's a couple of points we can pull from that one passage here in Galatians 6. The idea of exhorting and encouraging one another in verse 1 of Galatians 6 is about encouraging the fallen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one, as it says there. Restore them, to encourage and encourage obedience, and encourage growth, and encourage our faith. And then verse 2, about carrying one another's burdens. That's to help one another, to comfort one another, to strengthen one another, encourage one another. Galatians, the next verse, bear ye one another's burdens. Why? Well, not go off on why, but the fact that we do that, that's an encouragement to help each other out. Once again, to incite love and good words. We kind of already talked about that, right? And then the idea in verse 6 about helping teachers. Let him that is taught, in other words, let the student in the word share with him that teaches in all good things. So that's not necessarily monetary, though I think the context leads us to say that is a monetary thing. But the idea is to encourage teachers. And it don't matter really, we kind of mentioned earlier, whether it be a teacher or a preacher or a song leader or someone who helps to care for the building and grounds or whatever people are doing in the faith. Encourage them. Encourage them, exhort them, comfort them, lift them up, and help them along the way. And the idea that we support those, that we don't just, and sometimes there can be a tendency to tear people down, but that's not what the church is about. That's not what assembling's about. That's not what's supposed to happen. We are called to encourage one another. And we live in a world, I'll give a sports analogy here, because sports, we see this throughout our society, really. If you look at, in our sports, we probably, most of us have a favorite sports team. We might even be loyal to that sports team. But we support them. You know, they may fire their coach. They may fire a player. They may hire a good player. They may hire a good coach. We're always, you know, but sometimes in sports we have fair weather fans, don't we? When we're winning, we're yay, yay, rah, rah. When they're losing, boy, that horrible coach. I know in Arkansas we had Houston Nutt. His favorite play seemed to be like run up the middle. He'd run up the middle and get stuck, you know. Run up the middle, all game long. Well, we're armchair quarterbacks, right? That was silly. What is that coach doing? Are we supporting when we do that? No, we're not supporting them, are we? Where's the cheerleader? You know, yay, go. But we see that in our sports. And we can see the drawbacks, as if you will, in our society of the Monday morning quarterback. A lot of people have done it that way. And one thing is I try to learn how to coach kids, even the high level of 10 and under YMCA basketball. It's hard to keep up with the game. It's hard. If you can't make decisions on the fly, even if they're just 10-year-olds. You know, there's and guys at our level, we have slow motion now. I can't believe that ref didn't see that. Obviously, he's out of bounds, or obviously they got slapped on the arm. And when you're watching the game full speed, do we ever see those things? Do we support them? We might even be loyal. We can talk about the difference of being supporting and being loyal. But I think if we're in our, with our sports teams, do we show them the support that, the analogy is what I want to get across, I guess, in our lives as Christians? Do we support one another? Are we supportive of another? Do we exhort one another, encourage one another? Do we inspire one another? That is our goal. And that's what the Hebrew writer here is trying to get across to us, that we encourage one another, that we don't just sit around and like our society, our Monday morning quarterback or armchair quarterback that we have today, and we see the failure in that and how that's not supporting, that's not encouraging, that's not inspiring. It's important that we do that we are supporting as the day approaches. Because the Hebrew writer says, you know what? Each day that goes by, well, we're closer to another birthday, aren't we? But also each day we go by, we get closer to our day of our reward. Each day that goes by, we come closer to the day of our reward. And the question is, what reward are we preparing for? What reward are we anticipating? And our reward that is certainly we are anticipating, we're hopeful for, that we receive the reward of our Savior in living eternally with Him in heaven, in the presence of God. And so as we look at our lesson and the desire to encourage one another and to inspire one another, that we consider one another, that we look out for one another, that we're aware of others. Because sometimes we may really need something, but we may not talk about it, mightily. We may not talk about it. And that's where our relationship comes. It's important and that we develop those and have those, that we provoke or inspire one another, to inspire each other to love, that we inspire beautiful works, as one commentator said about that phrase there, beautiful works, that we inspire one another. And that does. When you do things for the church or for the Lord, whatever it is, and we see that and it's known, that inspires us. It's like, oh, so and so did such. That was good. I should have done that. That might inspire us. That's how one of the ways that will work. Through our assembling together, that we encourage one another, that we study as we study together, as we praise God together, as we're reminded of our Savior, the important aspects of our assembling together, and that we exhort one another, encourage, strengthen, lift up, because the days are getting short. The earth's moving. Our days are getting longer now, right? But in the spiritual world, and when we think about the day of judgment, our days are getting shorter, as it were. The time is getting closer. Have you acknowledged your faith and professed your faith in our Savior? Do you believe in His instruction and command that if you're baptized, your sins can be washed away? The day is approaching. The day is approaching. And as we live our lives and we stumble along the way, we want to be right. We want to learn right. We want to transform ourselves into who God wants us to be. And we want to encourage one another in that regard. Are you prepared and ready to confess Christ and become a Christian? If so, let us know. We'll baptize you this very moment. If you're a Christian and you need encouragement in a way and wish for the prayers of the saints, we always offer an invitation as well for that. So if you're subject to our gospel's call, won't you come while we stand and as we sing?